You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. The Huskers beat Rutgers 14-7 in a street fight in Lincoln. We can't wait to get to all the details on that one. But first, Common Fans, you know the drill. Go to cpbeef.com to get all your favorites from certified Piedmontese, and you know you can get 25% off any beef purchased at cpbeef.com using promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. Certified Piedmontese is premium Nebraska beef, raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. They've got everything you need, guys. We are right in the middle of it. This is the best time of year. Football season, baseball playoffs. The weather hasn't gotten too cold yet. You could be grilling every night. This is like the sports fan's dream. Get yourself burgers, steaks, ribs, roasts, anything and everything from Certified Piedmontese. They've got all that you could want. They also, I finally tried, guys, for the first time, I tried the beef bacon, and it is outstanding. I did it on the grill, actually. It's outstanding. Ooh.
I got to give that a try.
As you guys know, you can also get all of these products at your local Mercado Butcher Shop. There's one in Lincoln. There's one in Omaha. Or go to cpbeef.com, get 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN, and you get products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, make sure to check out our website, www.commonfan.co. TS Web Services built the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions specifically tailored to what you need. Whether it's web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We had a great experience working with them. They were very responsive. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Guys, I'm not one to pat myself on the back. The humility.
Yes, you are.
I'm very, very, many are saying I'm very humble. That's what the great humility.
Many people are saying.
Many are saying. But in the keys to victory piece that I wrote for the Rutgers game, the first one, or I think it was the first one, was get ready for a street fight. And we know from recent experience, especially since Greg Schiano took over, I think everyone thinks of Rutgers as this kind of, I don't know, East Coast school that, are they good at anything? I don't know. Are they good at basketball school? I don't know. I don't think we really, at least I still don't think of them as like one of your traditional challenging Big Ten teams, but especially Schiano took over, I think it was 2020, the COVID game in 2020 at Rutgers on a cold night in December. We won that one by a touchdown. It was super ugly. And then in 2022 was a Mickey Joseph led Husker team. Yep. Got down 13-0 at halftime and had to scratch and claw our way back for a 14-13 victory. And true to form, this one again was a street fight in Lincoln. And credit to the Huskers for battling and for winning. But man, I mean, the Rutgers teams are always under Schiano. They don't have the best athletes. They don't have the best players, but they are tough. They're physical and they're well coached. And they were ready to play yesterday.
Yeah, I mean that was their kind of game. Like that's their typical. Like we're gonna just make this ugly and dirty and make it a brawl, and we're just gonna hang around until you make a mistake, and then we're gonna capitalize and beat you. That's how they play. And it didn't happen yesterday, boys. We beat them at their own damn game.
We made one fewer mistake than they did.
We're uglier than you are. Okay.
We made one fewer mistake.
You want to go ugly? We'll go uglier.
Matty, you were there. How weird was it being like that hot, but was it humid with the
You
wind, or was it
know,
just super like a dry wind? Like, what was it like?
it was weird. It like the heat wasn't, it wasn't maybe even the top five hottest games I've been to, I felt like. And maybe that some of that was the wind, but the wind, guys, it was like swirling in the stadium. Like, so I'm in North Stadium. I looked up back behind me. They got the big American flag and the big Husker flag. And that Husker flag was blowing straight north. The flag was blowing straight north. I looked about 30 minutes later and that sucker was blowing straight south. I'm not
So they're
kidding.
staying on the radio
Like,
broadcast. They're
so
just
the, I mean, I'm kind of surprised, like, and we'll probably get into some of this, but I think we got to cut Dylan some slack for clearly, easily his worst game as a Husker. I mean, but that win, I don't know how you could kick. I don't know how you could throw. Like, I can't believe it, you know, there was even the amount of passing yards there was between both games, between both teams, just because of that wind. It was insane.
Geoff, unlike Matty O and myself, was stuck at a wedding. Were you able to watch most all of it on your phone, Jeff? Or
I listened on the radio on the drive out. It was in Seward at a vineyard. Lovely, lovely location. It was also
cool.
outdoors, so it was a little toasty, but I listened on the radio.
Did you put your
And then
sunscreen on, Jeff?
dude, there were so many bees. I don't know what the deal was where we were sitting, but
It's the sweetness of the wine they're drawn to.
maybe that's it. Okay. Anyways, I did watch the second half on my phone at the reception. So it was kind of weird though. I didn't get the full experience because I didn't have the sound on. So that was kind of interesting. But had a couple beers, watched it there, and tried to soak in as much as I could with the time that I had.
Did you make the bride and groom feel guilty about getting married
Tried
on
a
a
couple of
Husker
times. I
football
really did.
stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you let them know that this was unacceptable?
There was actually a couple other Common fans there that had listened to the previous podcast
Nice.
and had brought up the fact that they were going to be at the same wedding. And Sergio, if you're listening to this podcast, it was good seeing you last night, buddy. That was fun.
Hey, and thanks for listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
Common
yeah,
fans are everywhere.
the one thing I would say though is I did kind of look around and just wanted to get a kind of a feel for what kind of group of people I was with at this wedding. And I will tell you this much. One thing I did notice is a little alarming. There was a lot of people that didn't seem like they were clamoring to find a way to watch this game, which is very concerning to me as Nebraska residents. I think I spotted one guy trying to slyly like watch it. And then he would nudge his wife or his girlfriend. Like I saw him. I couldn't see hear what he was saying, but I heard like third down, something like that. So I know he would,
Goal line
yeah.
stand.
So I know there's at least one, but it was a little bit alarming the amount of people that just didn't even see, whether they were really good actors or they had absolutely zero interest in the game.
Interception, Nebraska.
Ooh.
We held him. We held him.
So.
Well, Jeff, you know, the thing, you don't have to have anything to do with these people for the rest of your life. So
That's
that's,
true,
you
you
know,
know.
that's the night. I don't understand kind of where you were, or like you, it was like, you must, it was like the others in Lost. Like you just
Exactly.
found a group of people that, you know, I guess this
The Dharma Initiative.
one group of people who weren't interested in the game in the state of Nebraska,
It
but
was
I'm
it was
sure you kept it together and were polite and mature, but also let the bride and groom know that their special day kind of ruined everything for everyone else.
Dude, I thought about this too. Have you ever just consider the fact like I had my phone with me watching the game, just easy streaming. You remember like a decade ago, if you got married on like a Husker Saturday, and if you went to
You weren't
the
watching that.
lengths
You weren't watching
that you had to
anything.
go to try and watch it, like you'd have to leave to go to a bar
Oh,
or like
yeah. You had to
convince
hope that
people.
like the reception was at a venue with a bar that you could sneak over to.
Yeah.
Or I was even at a wedding, good friends, in about 08 when we played Virginia Tech. And God bless them, they took the initiative and set up a TV like outside the main
Yeah.
area. It was like a, I don't know, lobby area outside of the main where the tables and dance floor were set up. So, you know, very thoughtful of them to at least do that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chad and Beth, friends of the program, dear
I
friends.
had
Oh, yeah.
a cousin of mine got married in the Sioux City area. Married an Iowa fan. Just throwing that out there. And I was an usher in the wedding. Wedding was smack dab in the middle of the 2010 Nebraska Oklahoma State matchup. If you remember, it was Taylor Martinez. I think we laid an egg against Texas maybe the week prior, went out to Stillwater, and T-Magic threw for like 350 and like ran for 100. I had to watch it all later on the DVR because it was right in the middle of the wedding. But I didn't, you know, me and another usher, my another cousin back in the back pew, you know, the usher sit in the back. So we had the ESPN, what do you call it? Gamecast going.
Yeah.
So there was some of that, like first down Nebraska. Touchdown Martinez.
I think we got it. Did we get it?
Yeah.
It's not loading.
The Gamecast is wrong.
Buffering.
So yeah.
Excuse me, Father, what's the Wi-Fi password? There. Sorry.
I haven't been in that situation in maybe since then, since 2010, with a fall wedding. It's just, it doesn't happen a ton around here.
Oh, that's lovely. Also, we're just getting older and fewer people are getting married. People are starting to get divorced.
Even our younger family, like all them are pretty much off and married. At least on my end of things, it's like all the really young cousins are off and married already.
The wave of second weddings will start to hit in a few years. And let's just hope those people have learned enough that they'll know not to do it on a fall Saturday. Oh, yeah. That's all we can hope.
Absolutely.
All right, we have derailed. Okay, game summary. So the Huskers took a 14-0 lead into halftime, and that first half was really interesting. So we scored on a Dante Dowdell run late in the first quarter, and then a really beautifully designed run, 11-yard TD run. Jahnyron Bonner kind of took a handoff. It was, I guess, kind of like a jet sweep or something.
I follow this guy, Coach Dan Casey, on Twitter. Loves football.
I saw his tweet.
He called it some kind of trap. It was like an inside trap, a wing trap.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful. And beautiful. He felt like he had all day to run. And he, right when he got to the goal line, he like cut up to make sure like he wouldn't go out of bounds lower his shoulder and run into the guy. Yeah. I like Bonner a lot. So the Huskers had a 14-0 lead. And interestingly, Rutgers actually moved the ball better in the first half. Menungai's, their big running back, who I think he'd gone over 100 yards in every game so far, he looked really good. And I was like, are we going to stop
crap.
This?
Yeah.
It was like, holy smokes, we're kind of getting owned here. I believe the stat was Rutgers got across the 50-yard line 8 out of 9 drives in the first half and had 0 points to show for it.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
So they missed, I know they missed a field goal on one. They faked a field goal and didn't get it. So huge stat for the Blacks. It's about the only thing we did well on special teams on the day, which we'll get to. And they had another, let's see, another
couple of fourth down stops.
Yeah, a couple of fourth down stops, I want to say. And then others where I think it was close enough to the 50 that we just held, you know, they weren't in field. They were kind of in no man's land. So, you know, I think going into halftime, guys, I thought we're the better team. We have better athletes. We have more playmakers. It still felt like a physical Rutgers style game. It felt like kind of a rock fight, but I thought we'll win 21-7, 28-10. You know, I thought we were, you know, well on our way to a, not a necessarily smooth victory, but a decisive win.
Comfortable one. Yeah.
Comfortable. Yeah. And, whew, then we just kind of had to hold on for dear life in the second half. Interesting enough, I mean, it was still like, it felt like Rutgers was knocking on the door. It still was 14-0 well into the fourth quarter. So you're kind of watching the clock. You're feeling pretty good about things, but then they score that touchdown pass that went right through. Was it Marquise Black?
Buford. He got like one hand on it, but he deflected it like right to the guy.
Yeah.
It was just unlucky.
It was just so frustrating. Unlucky. And we lucked out a little bit there. They had another drive where it was like 3rd and 5, had a guy wide open down the sideline, and he legit just flat out dropped it.
I couldn't believe it.
So, hey, but every special season comes with a little bit of luck, guys. We all know that. We don't apologize for it.
No.
We've been on the wrong end of that luck for a long time. But here's like, you just credit to the team. we've had such trouble in one score games. And, you know, a couple key things in that second half. In the third quarter, again, we're going to get to the special teams thing in a minute, so let's not dwell on it here quite yet. But in the third quarter,
I feel like we say that every
Rutgers
episode.
Rutgers blocked a punt, their second one of the day. The first one almost literally, I thought Buscini died.
Yeah,
like it was unbelievable. But they block a punt. I thought they were about to run it in. I mean, they get to like the Husker 2, and then on the so it's like first and goal from the 2. It's like, all right, well, it's about to be 14-7, and the first play we pushed them back a few yards, so second and goal from about the 5, and I was like, okay, maybe we got a shot here. And then there was a penalty, and that was back to first and goal from the 2 again. And it's like, ah, all right, blew our chance there. And sure enough, the Huskers hold them. So what was that? Whatever that total of 5 plays, 6 plays, whatever it was, 6 plays, I guess. Right. Whatever. Yeah. The Huskers hold them on. Yeah. 6 straight plays and don't let them in the end zone. And as it turned out in a 1-score game, that is huge.
Huge, yeah. huge.
Just key. And then the other thing I thought of, they score with 4:08 left and they still got a couple timeouts left. Plus the stupid 2-minute warning, which I hate in college.
It's a 2-minute timeout, TJ. Say it right.
The 2-minute. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
Say it right.
I'm sorry, Jeff. But it's just, so they basically have all, you know, 3 timeouts essentially. And you're worried, are we going to be able to run the ball? Are we going to be able to just, you know, we've seen this before in recent years, where all we had to do was get a couple of first downs and we win the game. We weren't able to do that. We're backed up to our own end zone. We go to punt. Buscini goes to punt. And it's like, they've blocked 2 punts already on the day. Very, very nerve wracking. Yes. And Buscini boots absolutely his best punt of the day. And I think they said it was a 70 yarder or 69 yarder.
69, yeah. Like. Nice.
And just over the return man. You figure like, even if they don't block it, they're going to be around midfield.
Yeah, exactly.
And the way he pinned them back, they basically, the way the Blackshirts were playing, they didn't have a chance at that point. And sure enough, we just kind of, we didn't let them cross the 50 and Blackshirts took care of business to end the game. But, you know, that I want to get to some of the question marks and the concerns and then some of the high points too, guys. But an overarching theme here, We laughed about this, I think, after the Northern Iowa win. I'm seeing some of it crop up on Twitter again, just sort of the Husker fans not able. And it's, I think it's a small portion of the fan base. I think most fans are pretty
can't enjoy it.
Husker fans not able to enjoy a win.
Yeah, which against, is just guys, insane. Guys,
Rutgers beat Washington last week, who just beat Michigan by 10 points last week. And I know neither Washington nor Michigan is as good as their two, you know, those two teams played in the national championship last year. Those two are not quite probably what they were last year, but like this was a 4-0 team. This is, and they had a ton of guys coming back last year. They kind of turned a corner last year and they brought a lot of guys back. This is a good team. They're going to go to a bowl game. Like they might be much better than that.
Yeah. TJ, I looked at their remaining schedule. You look at the schedule they have left. And you explain to me how you don't think they'll win at least 8 or 9 games. Like I see them as probably a 9-3 team if you go through that schedule. I mean, for sure.
They got Wisconsin next week. They're already favored, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of their home games they have left, I think they'll be favored. They're a good football team. Like we need to just be, I think, as I was thinking about this last night, I'm like, gosh, I'm like really happy after an ugly 14-7 win. Because like we just need to enjoy this ride, man. Like, who cares how ugly it is if we're winning ball games?
We're the ugly ones
count the
we'll
same as the pretty ones, man. Like in that 95 degree October heat with those swirling winds in that stadium. Are you kidding me? Like, just take the win and take the week off and start getting ready for Indiana.
Get healthy. Get ready for Indiana.
Just viewed it this way. I mean, if you want to, we're one bad player, one bad call away from being undefeated. Like, think about that. We've lost one game, you guys. One, and that one loss was went to overtime
to a right team.
And exactly.
I was thinking about this today. It felt like for like the Callahan and Pelini eras, Husker fan expectations were basically that we should get back to like what we were in the 80s and 90s. That was kind of always the expectation, right? And I think having that as a long-term goal and expectation, we should never lose that. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like that should be what we're always striving for. But coming off of the Riley and Frost eras, which have been, you know, the worst stretch of Husker football since the 50s and maybe ever, I think, like, I thought Husker fans were like, we talked about this a couple times already. Husker fans were like, okay, it's a building process. 5-7 last year, get to a bowl game this year. And I think even saying, let's say, you know, 6-6 is not great. Let's get to 7-5 this year. Let's get to 8-4. I think most Husker fans would say 6-8 wins this year is a great step forward. And then we start having unrealistic expectations again, right? And then but it's just like, we laughed about it. I think it was Northern Iowa. We laughed about it because it was like, it lasted 3 games and now we're back to being mad about decisive wins.
Naive to think that we could be reasonable about this.
Yeah. And also like, look at yesterday, look at college football across the country.
Yes. Oh, it's bananas.
Unranked Vanderbilt beats Alabama, who just dominated Georgia. I mean, I know Georgia made a comeback, but Alabama was dominant for a lot of that game. Number 25, Texas A&M, who's kind of looked like a borderline top 25 team, just took it to Missouri.
Yeah.
Notre Dame beat them, by the way, just so you guys remember that.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, we all know Notre Dame's not good. And so what else am I missing? Washington beat Michigan. Minnesota beat USC, knocked him out of the top 25. Like, this is college football is more competitive and more even than it's ever been before. And I think people, you know, I've heard said, you know, after the top 5 or 6 teams in college football, there's not a ton of difference between, say, the 8th and the top, you know, 30 teams or whatever. And that's probably true, but even the top 5 teams are struggling. Tennessee is another one.
Tennessee lost to Arkansas.
To Arkansas yesterday. Wasn't Arkansas unranked too?
Yes.
Arkansas
was unranked.
So, like, this is happening all over college football. How many of those teams, or how many recent Husker teams that didn't make bowl games, would be thrilled with an ugly win like this to get to 5-1?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's our best start since 2016 when we started off 7-0. This year, we're already playing a much tougher schedule than that team. This team is clearly better than that 2016 team. Enjoy it, baby. Celebrate 5-1.
Well, look around. Look around the Big Ten neighborhood. USC is 1-2 in conference.
Yeah.
Iowa and Wisconsin are both 3-2 overall. Like, we're 5-1, 2-1 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Celebrate all the victories, right?
Celebrate all the W's. Come on.
I'm trying my best to embrace the Evan Bland approach of looking at for something. Like, the bright side for the Purdue game last week was, you know, not just completely buckling and giving up in the second half and fighting back and winning. And this one, I look at it as we won a one score game. How many of you guys were scared to death when all of a sudden we couldn't get a first down and then we had to punt out of our own end zone?
Exactly. How many times have we blown it in that situation?
I was guilty as charged. I was sitting there looking at a guy at the wedding. I'm like, we're going to bleeping lose. We're going to lose this game now. And like,
Ashley, go get me some more wine now.
Whiskey on the rocks. Neat.
Make it a double. No, that's exactly right. I mean, I don't know. It's not a cop out when we say, you know, it was an ugly first half against Purdue. Then we go down 3-0. Then we bounce back and win decisively. Like the team's back was against the wall. Now, second week in a row, this time we got the lead. But it feels like it's slipping away and the team steps up and makes stops and does what they need to do to win a game. Those are building blocks. Like that's building a foundation. That's learning how to win. It's not cliche. This team has not known how to win for 7 years, as proven by their losing records.
Yeah,
right? And so like none of these guys on the roster, I mean, maybe they did in high school, maybe they did in other sports. They haven't done it at the major college football level. And so, and a lot of the, you know, I saw this point made too, there's been a lot of instant reaction to this team or that team, like Dion's start last year. Oh, Colorado flipped it right away with the transfer portal. Why did we do that? There are no shortcuts. No one has proven that you can do it that way. It has not been proven again, you know, yet that you can get 50 transfers and sort of short circuit the process. You have to develop offensive linemen. You have to develop defensive linemen. You have to develop a culture. In most places, most of the time, if you haven't won for 7 years, it takes years to do that.
Yeah.
So if we go, look, trust me, I'm laying in bed at night thinking, well, you know, if we beat Indiana and they beat UCLA, which, you know, maybe even if we don't beat Ohio State, we're 7-2 going into those last three games. USC doesn't look as good. Like I, as much as any common fan, am talking myself into 9-3 or 10-2. Don't get me wrong, but we have to come down to earth and remember the 7 or 5 or 8 and 4 and a bowl get pretty good. Like a, maybe somewhere near a New Year's Day bowl game would be a huge step forward for this program.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, 100%. I mean, that's pain. That stinks to say. That sucks to say. That's hard for Husker fans to say, but we've all lived the last 7 years. We can't pretend like they don't exist.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. So now that we said all that, let's get negative for a second. Let's talking about questions and concerns there. I can think of two, but really one main glaring problem that we've talked about every week, and it only seems to have gotten worse.
I was going to say, TJ, when
could you be always, talking about?
You every time we'll get to special teams in a minute. I think you've said that like for the last four episodes. We'll get to special teams in a minute,
and we've had to. And I know, special it's teams has been atrocious. And the whole talk going into this game was what the field goal kicking unit was going to do, and would we kick field goals or would we just go for it on fourth down or whatever? And then we get two punts blocked and almost get Brian Buscini killed in the meantime.
Yeah.
That first punt block was like, what was that? And then it happened again. Like that stuff.
So can
you could argue. Okay. Sorry. Do you have, go ahead.
What happened on that first one? That's when I was driving in the car and I just looked at, I'm driving on the interstate and that happens. I go, I think they just blocked a punt.
One of their guys just split blockers right on our punt block line and got just in there. He got the ball and then went like right into Buscini's like midsection and
as long as they get the ball first, then it's not a penalty if they hit the kicker. And so like he drilled Buscini and Buscini like got upended and then it looked awful. And then he was kind of laying stomach down,
he was like face down on the turf. Like he was dead.
He literally looked like he was dead. And it was
so down. And then
the rest of the game. He was like, you could tell his back was killing him. Like he was like hobbling out there, holding his back, and he still had like several remarkable punts when he wasn't getting.
Yeah, you know, that's incredible.
He averaged, he had that really long one you mentioned. He averaged 50 per punt.
Yeah.
Like I think one got caught up in the wind. And I think went like 28 net yards or something like that. But
and he had a completion to Jalen Lloyd.
Yeah,
on a fake
how
punt,
great was that? Apparently they talked about it all week, and then at halftime they knew they were going to run it at some point. So
that was a really good pass.
They were practicing the pass. Yeah. He was practicing passing at halftime.
Yep. Just nice and easy.
It didn't lead to points, but it was not insignificant just from a field position.
No, it was. Yeah, it was huge.
And so
that was Lloyd was so close to breaking that one too. By the way, like
he was. He had one guy to beat. He had one guy to beat. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So what do you like? What there's a lot of talk. So special teams coordinators, Ed Foley, I didn't look at the history, but somebody on Twitter made a comment about how he had done it well before at other places and it's just not working here. So maybe he's done it well in the past. Maybe he hasn't. I don't know. It hasn't been good. Special teams is something that in year two, at least should be like not hurting you.
Serviceable.
Maybe,
yeah.
Not everybody does it well. Not everybody's Iowa when it comes to special teams, but it shouldn't be bad like this. And it's strictly a function of coaching. Bottom line, like that's not high school teams can be good at special teams if they dedicate the time to it and is coached well.
Sure.
So where do you guys come down on the fire Ed Foley conversation?
I mean, we're six games in. So if it continues to be the way that it is, then yeah, I think you got to consider it, but you know, that guy's coached more years, I think, on our staff than anybody else in terms of experience and years. I think he's like 30 years of coaching or something like that.
But some people are saying to do it now.
I don't agree with that unless you've got somebody you think that can run your special teams for the last six games where we're really going to be need. I mean, I'm not in favor of generally of firing any coach in the middle of the season. But like when it was like Frost deal, I was like, okay. And in this era of college football, it makes way more sense to fire your head coach in the middle of the season so you can start looking for his replacement. I don't know if it's this. I feel the same way about assistants. I really don't know, especially like when it's a whole unit, right? Your whole special teams unit.
Geoff, what do you think?
Gone. Get rid of him. I'm tired of what I'm seeing. It's over with. Cut ties.
Okay.
That easy enough for you?
Yeah. For real, or division, are you just being dramatic?
No, I mean, these are Division I athletes. It's just, it's unacceptable. And why does it always have to be us? Like, it's not like this is just happening this year. This has been going on for years now. Like, it's just enough is enough, man. Like, it shouldn't be this bad. I don't know how you fix special, how you fix a kicker. I don't know what coaching goes into it, but anything's better than this. Fire him.
Well, some, I mean, it's not, it's, that's why it's not as simple as a thing like where we've got the snaps are good.
Yeah.
The holds are good and the kicker's just missing it.
Like, yeah. It's
whole freaking unit.
Yeah. It's like, a whole, it's yeah. Multiple. It's the kicking it's the unit. It's the goal kicking yeah. unit. It's yeah. the coverage units. It's the punt mm-hmm. unit. It's all of it. I completely agree. It's totally unacceptable. I think I'm more on where Matty O is here, just from the sense for a couple of reasons. One, think of how disruptive it would be to fire an offensive or defensive coordinator right in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And you know, that only happens, like, it actually led to an improvement in 2022 when Bill Bush took over the defense, but that was like a dumpster fire. Like, that season was kind of,
we had already
lost,
fired the head coach, you know? In that situation.
Yeah.
Too.
And that was kind of a mess. Like, you really want to avoid that on a team that's 5-1 and still playing for a lot, you know, got everything in front of them they want to play for. And then the other thing is, I just feel like Rhule's earned the benefit of the doubt. And so he's a guy that we know will take ownership. And, you know, I think the concerning thing for me when it comes to special teams is, I don't know, thank God we got this bye week, but like, I don't know. And we're not X's and O's guys. We've talked about this, but I don't know if any of this is fixable in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Well, I don't know what the short term answer is. And
neither do I.
Even if they can get the punting units and the coverage units to where they're at least serviceable, we talked before, looking at the field goal kicking situation, that can and arguably already did. Like, you could argue that cost us a game against Illinois, that very well can cost us games in the future. And so that's what's just really, really frustrating. We've talked about it before, but it's just not good enough. It's not good. And they've got to, hopefully there's something they can do to like put a Band-Aid on it and make it serviceable to get through the next 6 games and then, you know, then figure it out from there. But
yeah,
I don't know what you do from here.
Yeah. And see, it's a tough situation, unique one.
Yeah. The only other area of concern or question that I had, and I hesitate to even bring this up because the kid's been so good. And I think we've kind of talked about, you expect him to stub his toe at some point, but probably definitely Dylan Raiola's worst game as a Husker. Really, I would argue his first bad game. He hasn't had a bad game up to this point.
Right.
And his first half wasn't terrible. Kind of didn't do much in the second half. I'm not overly worried about it, guys. I mean, this is another area where I feel like Husker Twitter is having a meltdown. And I saw one account that was like, well, the weather's going to, you know, if it was the wind, the weather's going to keep getting worse and defenses are going to keep figuring him out. Like, he's still really good, right?
Yeah,
like, you know, he's still really good. Like, I think it was a combination of like, he's a true freshman. Like, maybe he hit a little bit of wall and this bye week couldn't come at a better time. That could be part of it. I do think the wind like played a factor, and whether that was messing with his mind in, because they did talk about on TV how there were a couple of times where, like, I think Ja'Cory Barney was open on a third down and he just didn't throw it. Like, it was clearly designed.
Yeah.
He was rolling that way. Barney was open and he kind of just didn't hit him out of the break and didn't throw it. So maybe that was a wind thing. I don't know. But also then Rhule said after the game that Shiano was doing a bunch of really confusing things on defense, which I think he's kind of known for.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dylan's going to learn from that. He's a 18, 19 year old kid. He's going to learn from that. So I'm not overly concerned, but that way I think we got to bring it up at least.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be overly critical of him either. Everybody has a bad game every once in a while. You know, nobody's perfect. Even some of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time have had a crappy game here and there. And yeah, there's some times where, like, I can't remember, it was in the second half, but he took a sack where I'm like, how did he not throw that thing away? But I'm not going to sit there and just pick at him like that. Shit happens. He'll shrug it off after a bye week. We're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, again, there was time. I think it's, maybe it's the win, but you know, maybe it's Shiano, but he did seem to be holding the ball more than he had previously, just like waiting for somebody to get open. And then it's like, oh crap, it's too late.
Yeah.
And he takes a sack, but
you know, I'd rather be having this conversation after a win. And then, you know, like, look, he had a rough game.
And
his teammates picked him up and they got the W, you know?
And he still made a few really good
made some
throws
unbelievable
too.
Throws.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what else is really nice is we're sitting here talking about he had a terrible game, but the one thing we're not talking about is turnovers. You know what I mean? Yeah, he may have taken a sack. He didn't play his best game ever, but he's not turning the ball over big time like we used to. Yeah, in the past,
he did. So. He did have one pick, which was honestly his first true pick of the season.
Yeah, I don't think he saw that linebacker at all.
But it was only one. Like he didn't have, exactly. You know. It was, and we were still. I think we were plus one on turnover margin on the day because we had two of our own interceptions. So yeah, still plus.
Still better than where we have been.
Plus six or plus seven on turnover margin on the year, which is again. But that's part of the story of the 5-1 record. That's part of the story of the team's success this year is flipping the script on turnover. So
for sure.
We can keep that up. All right, boys, hit the high points. I have been looking forward to talking about this one. That defense, baby.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Macho.
That was a man's game. Like they won the game for us.
Definitely.
I mean, that was a grown man's performance by the defense.
Yep.
That
and again, we
was
keep that goal
is unbelievable.
Insane.
A highlight of the season. Yeah,
insane. Absolutely. You know, we talked about before we really knew what Dylan would be like. You know, we talked about just like, okay, this defense will keep us in all these games long enough if we can just get a couple of scores on the board. Like that was it. That was kind of what I thought. Right. Things would look like this year before we thought saw like, oh my God, Dylan's like really good.
Yeah, right.
And where we started, cared more about like what it should look like or what we think it should look like. Right.
Yep.
But like at the end of last season, I'm like, that's what I think it'll look like. That Rutgers win was like us just playing really, really good D and just getting it enough points on the board and just holding just somebody
average
and winning
average.
14-7. Like that's what I envisioned. Like, okay, that's what our team's probably going to be like until we get some ballers on offense. And so I'm happy as hell, guys. I love defense. Our defensive linemen are playing their minds off. And that to me, that was, and I said this to our group text yesterday with our buddies, that was a very Iowa-like win, guys. Like just like
Iowa would have been very
grinding it out,
half.
Just playing tough D, getting to the quarterback, getting a couple picks, sealing
Iowa
the deal
would,
on D.
Iowa would not have been impressed by the block punts.
No,
but other than that,
that's the only un-Iowa-like thing of it. Yeah, it was, but yeah, that's what I thought it would look like. So,
great. Friend of the program, Jim in Minnesota, flagged this point. So,
Jim.
Manungai there, and he looks like he's impressive, guys.
He's very good.
He had 68 yards in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Okay. We held him to 78 on the game. Oh, so after 68 yards in the first quarter, when it looked like they were about to run all over us all game, we held him. He rushed for 10 more yards the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that, and I was like, Kaliak Manis, like, was not good. And it was very, average
and his receivers kind of screwed him too. Like they dropped,
for sure.
A few balls. We mentioned that one that would have been a touchdown, but there was a couple. Yeah. There's a few others.
Yeah, they made plenty of mistakes and like so like that offense whatever. But like Manungai is the real deal.
Yeah,
and we like talk about some in game adjustments, like the black shirts buttoned it up, and even when he was running wild, they didn't give up points. Like they bowed up when they had to, right? But I mean that second half performance in particular. I just felt really like I was feeling nervous given recent history for the Huskers in general, but I just felt really, really good that like, I really want to score a couple more touchdowns here, but I don't think these guys can get to 14 points the way the defense was playing.
And you sure know, even when it's 14-7 and Rutgers has the ball, I for some reason I never felt really nervous because I'm like, I don't think they're gonna be able to go down and score on us. So
you liar. Yeah. You're a liar.
I really
you
wasn't nervous that nervous. Now. Nah.
You're a liar.
No, I knew I knew the black shirts were on.
I was scared to death.
I bet you were, Jeff. Because
I was scared to death. I was afraid.
So here's another. Let's see here. Where is this? Okay. Ben Stevens, who is the Big Ten.
What is
Ben.
He? What is he?
He's the host of Sports Grid, which is. Better. Oh, that's Better Analysis and Insights, Maddie. I'm surprised you don't know about that.
I follow him, but I never knew. Like, I don't
yeah,
know
no, he's a media personality, covers Big Ten stuff. But he tweeted this: 43 FBS defenses have forced 8 or more turnovers this season. 16 FBS defenses have recorded 15 or more sacks this year. 11 FBS defenses are allowing less than 14 points a game this year. Only one is doing all three. Nebraska.
Boom.
Yes.
We're allowing 11.3 points per game. We have 20 sacks and we force 10 turnovers.
Man.
And
macho.
We're the only team in the country that has not allowed a rushing touchdown so far this year.
Holy yeah. crap.
And we haven't had a bye week yet.
It was us and Iowa going into the weekend and they allowed a rushing touchdown or multiple. I haven't seen the highlights of Iowa. And
I love Ohio guys. State. I think after the Illinois game, especially, we were all kind of like, the D's still really good, but maybe they're not quite as good as last year. Maybe we're going to struggle with better offenses this year or something. They've really buttoned it up the last two games. And granted, like Purdue and Rutgers are not the best offenses we're going to see, but it just gives, like, I also think there was a little bit of this quality last year after the loss to Michigan, and they had this kind of moment of like, we need to bounce back.
Yeah.
I think that was a little bit after the Illinois game, especially for the defense.
Right.
And they've been lights out since that loss. And, you know, Indiana, you know, Ohio State's Ohio State. That's a different story. But Indiana, I think, will be a really good test. That's a good team. They're 6-0 for the first time in their history. And they put up a ton of points. They haven't really played anybody. So I'm really, really interested to see how that one shakes out. And I really wanted to try and watch that Indiana Northwestern game yesterday. Yeah. I just wasn't able to, but with the bye week, maybe, and I know Indiana's got a bye week too, but maybe we'll be able to brush up on some Indiana film.
Mo Green.
Yeah. On some Mo Green.
I'm really interested in what the tempo of that game is going to be like. Cause I think I haven't really watched any Indiana football. Why would you? But
why would anybody?
They've scored so many points. I have to think that they're probably going pretty fast. So the tempo and the rhythm of the game, interesting to see how that will go. You know, I kind of wonder if maybe that style of game fits Dylan's style a little bit more. I don't know. I mean, you look at what the kid has done in every 2 minute offense opportunity he's had. He's looked pretty damn good.
Yeah.
In a quicker setup, or we try to slow it down.
I was gonna say, do we try to Big Ten them, right? Do we try to slow it down and keep it like simple, shorter throws for Dylan?
I think we do, honestly.
Keep the chains moving, hold the ball longer for as long as we can. And also, it might be one of those things where, like, we just got to get to the quarterback, right? And we got to, like we did against Colorado, like, we got to just be disruptive as possible.
Yeah. It's hard to throw touchdown passes when you're on your back.
I just don't know. Again, like, I have no idea if, like, do they have an offensive line like, you know, Wisconsin's of a few years ago, or are they, it's going to be a porous, shoddy unit like Colorado's, you know, or somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Right? We'll talk to Evan about this later this week.
Yes, we will.
Some Indiana. All right, fellas. I think anything else before we get to Corn Cops?
No, I mean, no, the wedding again.
Geoff, did you come home with any Seward wine?
No, I did not come home with any Seward wine. And actually, I'll be honest with you. There was a guy when the reception dance started. We weren't even 5 minutes into the dance floor opening up to the public, and there was a dude with a tie on his head. He's like the staple of all wedding receptions. Yes.
That's normally you, Geoff.
That's you're normally me. You know, back in our day, when our friends were getting married. That's my move. I was like Frank Costanza. That's my move.
That's my move.
You stop short. That's my move.
How much did you dance? Did you dance a lot?
Yeah. So I only had two beers while we were there. We were out in Seward. I had the whole family. We gave my sister and my niece a ride. So I figured I'd take it easy that night and drive everybody home. And so I'll tell you one thing that's kind of weird. Dancing when you're sober just feels different.
Geoff's like, I was driving, so I only had 9 beers. Common fans, just kidding, obviously.
Yeah. So it was.
Did they do that thing where the groom takes the bride's garter belt off and then like flings it in the crowd? Because you seem like the type of guy that would go balls out trying to catch the
diving over belt. Tables, knocking over small children,
like Michael Scott.
No, it was kind of non-traditional. They didn't do like any of those types of things. They did a father-daughter dance, you know, the bride and groom, and then they had a food truck pull up outside for dinner. And it was cool. Muchachos, and it was delicious.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool idea.
Did you get some hash mac?
No, so they ran out.
Okay. Must have been good.
We were one of the last tables to get up there. So I had a, and they ran out of brisket too. So I had to do pork. Oh, my nachos.
Come on, muchachos.
Freaking good, though. It was still delicious.
That is good.
I know. Muchachos like, they're like,
that guy's over there watching the game. That table's going last.
That's exactly what happened. That's freaking DJ. I knew it. She was mean mugging me the whole night.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad it was a good time, Geoff. I'm sure you lit up the dance floor. Let's do corn cobs. Yeah. Why don't you start us off, Geoff? Who do you got?
I'll go with the polar bear, mainly because he played his ass off, but he also did get a shout out from Pat McAfee on game day. He said, dude's an ant. Oh, he did. Yeah. Pat McAfee was singing his praises on game day, gave his whole background, wrestling, all that stuff. So kudos to him. The dude's a star and he's a great athlete. So he's getting mine. Corn cob to you, Nash.
He was huge on the goal line stands, and he had a sack, and he played. Yeah, he played great.
He was incredible. Matty-O, what do you got?
I'm gonna go with James Williams, Jim Williams. This is his second corn cob. I gave him one last year. I can't remember what game it was.
I remember that.
But this is his second corn cob. That kid played so damn well. 5 tackles, I believe, 2 sacks, and. Really, really cool seeing him hugging Coach Pot Roast when he came off the field. Like, apparently he's got some stuff going on in his personal life, and it's really like the team sounds like they really rallied around him, and Coach Pot Roast has been really good for him. They called him like a father figure to him.
Yeah.
So just, I love that stuff, man.
It was like choking me up yesterday. I mean, yeah. I saw it on, they showed it on TV. They showed them hugging and it looked like he was really emotional. And then Coach Knight and Coach Pot Roast, that's his profile picture now of the two of them hugging, which is super cool. But Williams kind of really opened up in interviews after the game. And he basically said, I don't know what happened exactly. He didn't get into the details, but it sounds like he kind of lost some family members or maybe had some falling outs. I don't know exactly what it was, but he talked about how Coach Knighton has really been like a father, not just a father figure, but has kind of taken that role, you know, like more than that. Right. And almost like a father for him. And so that's just so cool. And then, Coach Pot Roast retweeted it and wrote my why, right? Like why he does it. Yeah. Which is just super cool. So just awesome to see a kid like that having success. And it's also, you know, props to the coaching staff. He showed up at some camp, you know, and they identified something in him and have turned him into just a pass rushing
specialist. He was outstanding. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'm trying to remember last week. We should start keeping a list of these. It's embarrassing that I already can't remember last week. I think I gave one to someone else, but then gave like a second one to Bushini.
You did, because I gave one to the fans.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But I'm going to give one to Bushini again. Hats off to the punter, but I mean, that guy, like, he literally would have, like, I don't think anybody would have judged him if he had, after that first punt, if he had been like, I can't go. My back is killing me. Like, I ruptured a disc in my back, so I can't go now.
Yeah.
Or something. And he just gutted it out. And not only that, but had, as we've discussed throughout the show, multiple big time punts, that huge throw on the fake punt. I mean, he's been an MVP. We've seen him make tackles on special teams. Yeah. And he's been, and then I saw today a lot of the black shirts were praising him. And one of them, I think, even said he deserves a black shirt after the game yesterday. Like, he clearly has earned the respect of his teammates. And so I just love that. But he was so integral to that win. And it's nice to see some high points coming out of the special teams unit, which has otherwise been pretty atrocious. So.
Abysmal.
Totally.
Give it to Bushini. So.
Boosh boots. All right. Get those Boosh boots.
Huskers get to 5-1. One other thing, guys, we didn't talk about is we are not ranked in either poll. We are essentially, we are others receiving votes in both polls, and essentially we would come out to what would be 27th in both polls.
Hey, but look how the unranked teams did yesterday. Maybe we don't want to be ranked for Indiana.
Well, here's the thing. I think you could poke holes in a lot of this stuff.
Oh, like, totally.
How many years was Nebraska the beneficiary of being ranked because of our name, right? Yeah, I think 100%. That's what's going on with Michigan right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, does Michigan deserve to be ranked after?
Well, you can go hindsight on all these teams. Like, Like I'm thinking about like last night, I'm like, gosh, I'm looking at Miami. I'm like, did we give Miami too much credit for the Florida win? Because Florida's terrible. Who else has Miami really beat? I mean, they barely beat Virginia Tech last week. And you look at the rest of their schedule, like, oh, geez.
Down to the wire.
They haven't beat anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and then they're, you know, they're top 10. Like, they're not a top 10 team.
No.
Like,
no.
Come on.
I agree. So,
these, right, up until we come out with like the first college football playoff rankings, this is just for fun. Like, honest to God, this is all just for fun. It doesn't really matter.
Michigan has two losses. They're number, you know, they're still in the top 25, which is kind of ridiculous. I don't think there's any other, if I'm looking, I'm looking at this quickly, I don't think there's any other two loss teams in the top 25. And then USC is in front of us. So they would, in both polls, as the others receiving votes. So they would essentially be number 26. We would be number 27 in both. But again, USC just, they just lost to unranked Minnesota. They have two losses. Why are they still receiving votes? You know, but you could poke holes in all this stuff.
All
but the bottom, the bottom line is also like, beat Illinois and this isn't a conversation.
Right.
Or like beat Indiana in a couple of weeks and we're right back in the top 25. Yeah. You know, like it doesn't.
You can't
like,
keep us like, out after that.
But obviously, though, I mean, the college football industrial complex is just.
That's where I wanted to go with it.
Sticking a fork in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Like that's they always are trying to stick a fork in Nebraska. But, you know, we're not going to let it bother us.
They're going
to
keep us down. No way.
Who cares?
Not this time. Exactly right. Not this time.
Look, take care of business against what appears to be a very good Indiana team. And I think we probably catapult into the top 20, maybe. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
With next week's games on, we're on a bye week. Some people might lose and we just kind of just get bumped up in without even playing a game.
That has happened before. So that would be, that would be pretty cool.
Who knows? Notre Dame might be in the top 10 by then, you guys, who knows?
Nobody cares, Jeff. Yeah, I'm going to save TJ the breath. Literally nobody cares, Jeff.
All right.
Hey, we got one more thing we should really start talking about.
Oh, yes. Matty O, thank you.
Yeah.
Boom.
We should have led with this. Gosh dang it. We keep forgetting to bring this up, but it's very exciting.
We'll say it toward, more towards the beginning over the next couple weeks.
Yes.
Three weeks or so.
Common Fan Tailgate.
Yes.
November 2nd, UCLA game. We are hosting a tailgate. All Common fans are welcome. More information will be forthcoming on this show and on social media. It's going to be in lot 10. If you can, you can just Google where lot 10 is. It's between like 16th and 18th on
so we're by across kind of catty corner from Old Cook Pavilion.
Yeah. So we'll be tweeting out more details. I don't think we have a kickoff time for that one yet either. Nope. So we'll be out with more details. But if you're a listener, if you're a friend of the program, whatever it is, we'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you if we haven't met you. And so we'll be having lots of good treats and fun stuff there. And lots of friends of the program will be there. So again, November 2nd, UCLA game, official first ever Common Fan tailgate. We're super excited about it. We hope to see you there and we'll be out with more details on that. Thank you for the reminder, Matty O.
You betcha, sir.
It's gonna be
awesome. We keep just Common fans. We keep talking about how we need to tell people about this and we keep forgetting when we actually go to record. So the next time we got to remember to do it at the front end of the episode, which we will.
Well, so many people listen to the whole entire thing. They're probably hearing this anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Everybody's still completely glued in to their to their radios, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Radios to their AM radio.
All right, Common fans. The Huskers get the W. They get to 5-1. And guess what? We're going to be undefeated this coming weekend because there's a bye week. And so, hey, do some chores, get some stuff done around the house that you otherwise wouldn't get done. Enjoy other college football with the knowledge that we can't lose this weekend. And then it'll be right back to the grind with Indiana, a very good ranked Indiana team the following week. So anyway, stick around. We've got Evan Bland episode with Evan Bland, View from the Bland Stands, coming out Wednesday morning. We'll kind of recap a little more of the Rutgers game, talk a little bit of Indiana, and probably also just kind of recap the whole first half of the year. And we got a very special guest next week to kind of do a broader midseason recap as well that we're very excited about. So lots of fun things coming from the Common Fans. Subscribe on YouTube. Go to the website, commonfan.co. Like all the episodes, all the things. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. And tailgate on November 2nd, UCLA game. We can't wait to see you there. Enjoy your victory week, Common Fans. Enjoy the bye week. We'll be back at you soon. As always, GBR for life.